So as I was reflecting on the story of Noah, which we heard part of that story, I was reminded of a story that I came across one time in part of the Jewish teaching tradition. It was about when Noah was loading the ark, and you know, with the camels and the water buffaloes and the goats, and up the ramp came a pair of tiny little gnats. And according to the story, Noah turned to God and he said, "You want me to save the gnats? What possible value could the gnats have?" And God replied, "Yes, Noah, save the gnats. Save the gnats, for they hold many secrets which you will never know." Even the gnats are precious. In fact, it's the story of the Noah story, the story of Noah, where the Bible is quite clear that God's covenant was established not just with people, but with all of creation. With all of creation. God said to Noah and his sons, "I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Between me and the earth. Now, I believe that there's a reason that our Holy Scriptures begin with the story of God's breathing across the void and creating the heavens and the earth. Breathing across the earth, calling into life the night and the day, the plants and the animals. Breathing to life humankind, imprinted with the image of God, with the image of the Creator. Casting a loving eye on all that God created, yeah? God saw that it was good. Indeed, very good. And it was, and it is, earth, our fragile island home. The scripture will go on to explain to us that we cannot be in right relationship with God unless we are in right relationship with the land. Now, I'm using that in the Hebrew sense. In the Hebrew sense, land. Land means all that is, not just the dirt under your feet, although it includes that. But when land is talked about in the Hebrew scriptures, it's the ground, it's the trees, it's the plants, it's the rivers and the seas, the animals and all the creatures, and all the human beings, even the air we breathe. All of it is included by the term land, the land. All of it is included, much like the First Nations peoples, right, in North America, living in right relationship with the land, with creation. God imagined this an astonishing world of beauty and plenty for all of us. It's our gift. It's our gift. Now, the theologian Terence Fytham, an article he wrote, Nature's Praise of God in the Psalms. He wrote, "It's only as all creatures of God join together in the chorus of praise that the elements of the natural order or human beings witness to God as they ought." Now, this insight calls human beings to relate to the natural order in such a way that nature's praise might show forth with greater clarity. Just imagine the choir that we just heard, our great choir, that if only the sopranos were singing, and they were only singing three notes. Well, you know, it might sound okay, right? It might even sound pretty good, but it would be kind of monotone, right? It would be, they really couldn't call themselves a choir at that point, right? You know, in a similar vein, the author Fytham, he might suggest that a hymn of praise that only includes human beings and excludes the creeping things and the suns and the stars and the angels and the trees or any part of creation would also create this rather monochromatic musical picture. Yeah, and a substantially less glorifying one, for certain. And the fourth century prayer of Basil the Great, St. Basil the Great, one of the great theologians and early, he wrote in a monastic order before Gregory and Benedict came along a couple centuries later. Almost 1,000 years later, in this fourth century prayer, he laments the sad picture, and I quote, O God, enlarge within us the sense of fellowship with all living things, our brothers, the animals, and all creatures to whom thou gavest the earth as their home in common with us. We remember with shame that in the past, he's talking about, in the past, even then, we have exercised the high dominion of humans with ruthless cruelty, so that the voice of the earth, which should have gone up to thee in song, has been a groan of travail. May we realize that all creatures live not for us alone, but for themselves and for thee, and that they love the sweetness of life. Again, that St. Basil prayed these words in the 4th century. How much more powerful and relevant they are today, when depending on who you consult with, some 11% of the world's bird species, 25% of mammal species, and 30% of all fish species face danger of extinction as a result of human-created habitat loss, pollution, global warming. And in the words of the World Wildlife Fund, every species loss diminishes the diversity of life on Earth with untold consequences for the web of life. It reminds me of one of my favorite t-shirts and posters from a number of years ago. It shows a variety of animals. I think they're most probably endangered animals, but they're interspersed around this gear, a wheel gear, like on the sprockets that you have on your bicycle, and it's on the sprockets on it. This wheel gear, and overlaid on that is a wrench. And the quote, the slogan at the bottom reads, "What mechanic would ever throw away a part just because he didn't know how it fit in the machine?" I love that. I love that. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, he's spoken often and at length about our Christian responsibility toward the earth. He points to the amount of trash that we produce, throwing away vast waste in plastic bags that will never biodegrade. And he asks, how does this influence other parts of our lives? Do we think of people and relationships as disposable? God does not throw away and start again. We are asked to have the same commitment, he said. God does not waste. One of my friends wrote me an email a while back where she worried that considers herself a good person, right? And she tries to cut down on her energy consumption. She does all the appropriate green activities, right? And yet, you know, she cares, but she feels overwhelmed by the enormity of it all. She asks, you know, how does this whole mess not paralyze you? And it was a question that I've wrestled with more than once. And I always come up with the same answer. Actually, it's a two-part answer. And first is that, yes, indeed, we must work on a systemic level. Yeah? I mean, and this is something we have to do together in groups and organizations. It's more than an individual can do. It's beyond the scope of an individual. We have to work to change laws and institutions and embedded practices that support and engender the degradation of the earth, and at the same time replace them with life-supporting laws and institutions and practices. And second, the second part is that Jesus doesn't heal all the lepers in Palestine, only the ones in front of him. Jesus doesn't heal all the blind people in Jerusalem, only the one right in front of him. Jesus doesn't feed everyone in Judea, just the 4,000 or 5,000 who are gathered there on the hill. No, I can't take care of all of God's creation, but I can try to take care of what's right in front of me. Yeah? Where I live. No, I can change one thing at a time. We can all change one thing at a time. And this much we can do. And who knows? As each of us is changing one thing at a time, we might actually end up cleaning up the whole earth, our fragile island home. It's like the story of the the middle-aged person out for a stroll along the beach one morning. Yeah? And he sees off in the distance this young man repeatedly throwing things into the water. And as he gets closer, our stroller sees that the young man is throwing starfish into the ocean. And when he gets up to him, he asks him, "Well, what are you doing?" And the young man responds with a sweep of his arm, indicating the hundreds of starfish that are laying out on the beach, that the starfish are in danger of drying up and dying because the tide is going out and it's a hot, scorching day. And so the older person looks around at this huge number of fish, which the young man just indicated, obviously more starfish than the young man can ever save. And he goes, "But what's the point? You'll never be able to save them all." To which the young man replies, leans down, picks up a starfish, throws it into the water. "I just saved that one." "Maybe not, but I just saved that one." Let us pray. Holy Creator, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect on your creation, on your covenant with all living things, and on our obligation to be good stewards of the gifts that you have provided. Help us to understand that each of us has an important role in caring for creation by the choices we make, by the actions we take. Give us the wisdom to choose thoughtfully and to act with care in accordance with your will and your love of this good earth, our blue-green island home spinning through space. Happy Earth Day Sunday, a blessed festival of God's creation to you. Amen.